Hi, listeners, and welcome to the True Crime Weekly podcast, a podcast that is based in San Diego and hosted by me, Alina Trujillo, and my producer, Jose Fernandez. This is a podcast where I will be bringing you stories of murders, infamous cases, and unsolved mysteries. On Saturday, August 29th, 2015, Leilani Thompson dropped off her son, 20-year-old Elijah Bear Diaz, in his El Cajon home, not knowing that that would be the last time she would ever see her son again. This is the story of the disappearance of Elijah Bear Diaz. Elijah Bear Diaz, nicknamed Bear, was a 20-year-old who has struggled with his health from a very young age. Bear had been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at the age of 6 years old. Bear had been in and out of hospitals due to his diabetes since he was little, and because of that, Bear didn't end up having a normal kid life. Because of his diabetes and being in and out of hospitals, Bear tended to miss a lot of school, and eventually his mom, Leilani, would allow Bear to drop out of high school, and eventually Bear would earn his GED. Bear had developed depression due to his condition, since he had been in and out of hospitals his whole life, and the only thing that Bear had longed for his whole life was to be healthy and live a normal life. Even though Bear and his mother Leilani were very close, in search for that independence that he always wanted, at the age of 18, Bear would move out of his mom's house into his own house in El Cajon, California. Because you see, Bear and his mom were Native Americans, and they belonged to the Borona Indian Reservation tribe. And due to this, Bear would receive a monthly check from the Borona Indian Reservation, which would allow Bear to live a very comfortable lifestyle. And because of that, this also allowed him to buy his house in cash. Bear's friends and family describe him as someone who was very generous with everyone. I saw the episode of Disappeared where they featured Bear's story, and his childhood friend said that he was very generous, and if you were hanging out with Bear, it was known that Bear would be the one treating people. After Bear moved out of his mother's home and bought his own house, Bear ended up making new friends from a local hookah lounge, and it wasn't long until his house became known to be that hangout spot. Since Bear had big TVs in his house, the latest video games, and several cars. It was also known that Bear was not just generous with his money, but he was also generous with his home. If anyone needed a place to stay for the night, Bear would allow them to crash in his house even if he didn't know them. And even though Bear had type 1 diabetes, he was determined to try and live a normal life. So he was always on the go. He would go out with his friends, or he would go surfing, or he would be playing guitar.
Sounds like a really nice guy.
Mm-hmm. And just as Bear is gaining this new independence that he had longed for so long, it all starts to crumble apart. Bear's health starts to decline, and he starts to develop neuropathy, which is a complication of type 1 diabetes, and it causes him to get painful blisters and sores on his feet. His mother is having to spend 5 to 8 hours a day to attend to his wounds and needs, because he's now having to walk with crutches, and he also needed his mother to drive him wherever he needed to go and help him make food for himself.
And it's like a really big change.
I know. And I can only assume that with his health declining and having to rely on his mom for everything, it had been devastating for him after he probably felt like he had achieved this new independence. And now, you know, once again, due to his health,
it's taken away.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure that, you know, it was easy for him to probably slip right back into that depression that he was already suffering from. Then on August 29th, 2015, Leilani picks up Bear from his house and they head over to a family member's house where she would leave him while she attended a funeral for a family member. And Bear wasn't able to attend the funeral because he needed to rest, and because of the wounds on his feet, he wasn't able to walk or stand for very long. So after the funeral, Bear would ask his mom to take him home. And when Leilani arrived at the house to pick up Bear, she noticed that he is now upset. And not knowing why, she can only assume that he was probably upset from, you know, seeing all these other kids playing in the pool and having a good time. And, you know, it was probably sad and frustrating. And it probably served him as a reminder how he wasn't able to do those things, you know. So Leilani takes Bear home, and when they get to his house, Leilani says that they start talking about his health and, you know, the issues that he's now facing. And she could see that Bear is getting more and more upset by the conversation. And at around 10:30 p.m., she tells Bear that he needs to get some rest and that she would see him tomorrow. And Leilani leaves Bear's home. And when Leilani arrives to her house, you know, she texted Bear to let him know that she had arrived safely at home. And Bear texted her right away, replying back, "Okay, Mom, I love you." And that would be the last time that Leilani would ever see or speak to her son again. The next day, on August 30th, Leilani sends a text to Bear to see what he wanted to eat. And when she doesn't hear back from Bear, she texts him again to see if he was still upset with her because of the conversation they hadn't had the night prior, which, you know, had gotten a little heated. But Bear doesn't text Leilani back. So Leilani decides to go to his house to talk to him to see why he wasn't responding. So Leilani arrives at Bear's house in El Cajon at 3:30 p.m. And when Leilani pulls into Bear's home, she notices that all of Bear's cars were in the driveway. So assuming that Bear must still be mad at her, she gets out of the car and walks into Bear's house. Leilani makes her way into the house and she notices that no one seems to be home. So she walks over to Bear's room and she notices that the door to his room is locked, which she didn't find strange since Bear did have 2 to 3 full-time roommates. And he was also known to let about 4 to 5 people stay at his house at a time for the night. So when Leilani noticed that the door was locked, she thought it was normal since he would usually, you know, lock his door whenever he wanted to retreat back to his room and be left alone. But when Leilani is able to unlock the door to the room, she finds that the room is empty and has been left in an odd form. So Bear's bed had been stripped of all the covers and sheets. Bear had a safe in his room where he kept money in, and the safe was open and the money was gone. She notices that his TV in his room is missing.
The TV is missing too?
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems really odd.
Especially, you know, in his condition, how, you know, he needed his mom's help. Right. So his crutches are gone, and his backpack where he would carry his money and other items were all gone. Leilani starts to frantically look for her son all around the house. And when she comes to the kitchen, she notices that one of Bear's roommates has now emerged and is in the kitchen. And she tells him that she's looking for Bear and asks him if he had seen or talked to Bear. The roommate tells her that he had arrived home at around 2 or 2:30 a.m. and that when he got home, Bear's door was closed, but he didn't see him or witness him leaving the house. Leilani knew that the following day, Bear had several doctor's appointments. So Leilani decided to show up at Bear's first doctor appointment the following day. And the receptionist tells Leilani that Bear never showed up for his appointment. So Leilani gets in her car and she drives to his next appointment and decides to wait for Bear as she had gotten to the appointment early. But Bear doesn't show up to that doctor's appointment either. So Leilani knew that there was something horribly wrong with her son. There had been times when Bear would get depressed and leave to go stay at a friend's house, but he would always keep in contact and he would never miss a doctor's appointment as he knew how temperamental it was for him to go to all of his doctor's appointments. So worried that something horrible could have happened to her son, she goes to the sheriff's department to file a missing persons report. However, when she arrives at the sheriff's office, the sheriff's officer that was helping her wrote everything down on a piece of paper and told her that he would file the report later. Since Bear was an adult with money, it wasn't illegal for an adult to want to take a time out from life.
The situation doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. His health, he can't really do much on his own.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. His cars were there. Mm-hmm. His TV was gone. Mm-hmm. Why would he leave his own house?
Mm-hmm. Because he's an adult.
That makes no sense at all.
I know. It's horrible. I know.
And at that point, time is of the essence.
Yes. Yeah. So you would think that they would have, you know, sprung into action, but...
Yeah, take it with seriousness.
Right. So 48 hours have passed since the last time Leilani saw or talked to her son, Bear. And Leilani started becoming increasingly worried about her son. Leilani knew that Bear would run into serious problem without his insulin, as he could suffer from headaches and uncontrollable vomiting, requiring him to go to the hospital. So Bear needed to take insulin 3 times a day. He needed to take 2 different types of insulin and mix them together. Leilani knew that Bear's backpack was missing, and she also knew that Bear probably had 2 to 3 weeks worth of insulin in his backpack and would be running low pretty soon. So worried about her son, Leilani starts reaching out to all of Bear's friends through phone calls, texts, and social media. But that search resulted in nothing, as none of Bear's friends had seen or talked to him. In the summer, all of the Native American tribes get together for an annual powwow, and Leilani knew that her son never missed a powwow. And in hopes that Bear would be at the annual powwow, she prints missing persons posters of Bear and she places them at her booth in hopes that Bear would show up and he would see that she has been looking for him. But Bear never showed up. So Leilani uses that opportunity to spread awareness about her son missing among their community. A week goes by and Bear is still missing. He was supposed to pick up his check from the Borona Indian Reservation. However, Bear never shows up for his check. Leilani knows that this is very unusual for Bear. He would never miss picking up his check. So now Leilani's starting to suspect that someone had to have murdered her son. Leilani cannot believe that Bear would just disappear in this manner. Bear was 5'9" and weighed 110 pounds. And with Bear not being able to walk without his crutches, she knew that someone had to take the TVs from his house, as, you know, Bear wasn't physically equipped to do something like that. You know, he was
physically ill,
right?
And you know, with that frame, he's probably a target for somebody to be able to probably overpower him.
Yeah. And I mean, let's just say, you know, he went in his own will. Somebody had to have helped him. There's just
100%.
There's no way that he would have been able to, you know, take down these big TVs that he had in his house, you know.
Right.
And then with the crutches, like how?
And what's odd is that the crutches were missing too. Mm-hmm. So it makes you think maybe he forced him out, took him in, obviously, another car, not one of his.
Yeah, because all of his cars were there. I mean, it's just, the whole situation is just weird, you know?
Yeah, it's really odd. So at this point, are the police taking this seriously?
Okay, so detectives show up at Bear's home to investigate his disappearance. However, with very minimal physical evidence, the police didn't have much to go on. The police get a warrant for Bear's banking records and cell phone records in hopes that they're able to track his movements. And they find through cell phone records that Bear's cell phone pinged off of a cell phone tower at the Barona Indian Reservation at around 1:29 a.m. on the night that he went missing. Then, 29 minutes later, they find that his cell phone pinged at a cell phone tower in the Santa Isabel area, which is surrounded by mountains. So, not knowing if Bear had his cell phone with him when it was pinging off of those towers, police knew that they had to search that area as it made the perfect dumping ground for someone that was trying to get rid of a body and not have it be found.
Like, I know that area. It's mm-hmm. very rural. A lot of mountains. Like, just big granite rocks. It's
really? I don't know that I'm familiar with that area. But, I mean, in that episode that I saw disappear, that's exactly how you're describing it. That's exactly how it looked.
Yeah, it's not too far from Barona, the Barona Reservation. Mm-hmm. But it's a reasonable distance.
Yeah. So, detectives end up getting two SDPD fire helicopters to assist them in an air search for a 10-man search team. And they did a one-mile circle on top of this mountain. However, the search resulted in nothing. No sign of anybody or a sign of anybody being around those grounds in recent days, for that matter. So, with Bear missing for more than a week and no progress on his case, Lalani starts to do her own investigation. And she starts to look online when she comes across another 20-year-old that has also gone missing. And it's pretty striking how many similarities there are between Bear and this 20-year-old named Skylar Peterson Tosic. Skylar went missing the day after Bear did. So on August 30th, Skylar had met up for lunch with his mother, his mother's boyfriend, and his mother's mom. So Skylar had lost contact with a lot of his friends that he had grown up with. So when Skylar told his mom that he had met new friends, she was very happy to hear that. And when they met for lunch, she wanted to hear all about these new friends. And she would never get a chance because she had gotten up from the table and had told Skylar that she would be right back because she wanted to hear all about the new friends and what he's been up to. But when she returned back, she found that Skylar had just left the lunch. Yeah. So she thought that this was odd after he had just arrived and then he left without saying goodbye. So she decided to text Skylar, but she wouldn't receive a text back until 8:00 at night. He told her that he was with his two new friends, Darius and Eli. He told her that he had met two rich girls and that the two girls had offered to take him away on vacation, and that the two girls had offered to pay for everything.
Because that just happens.
Mm-hmm. Made up.
Yeah, like somebody just, whoever potentially could have taken this kid, that's what they thought of.
Yeah, so there's just like odd things with, you know, his story too. Like, right away, Skylar's mom thought, you know, the same thing. This is odd. And she texted him back and said no, that he was not going on this trip with them. So Skylar would text her back and say to her that he is an independent adult and that he was going to go to this spiritual fun, no drugs, and that they were going to go. But guess what?
What?
that's where the text ends.
Oh, we left her hanging.
Yes, like, leaves her hanging like that, which, you know, that would have driven me insane. Which I'm sure it drove her insane, too.
Spiritual, no drama.
No, bizarre. To me, it sounds kind of culty.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, that's even scarier. Like, to get kidnapped by, like, a cult. I don't know what's scarier. Well, okay, sorry. But then Skylar's mom tries to file a missing persons report. And guess what?
They say he's an adult. And that this stuff happens.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Take care of it later.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So, sure enough, when she tries to file a missing persons report, just how they told Bear's mom, they can't do anything about it because Skylar is over 18 and it was normal for 18-year-olds to just leave. So, just like Leilani, she also starts to do her own investigation to see what happened to her son.
You know, it's really sad that she has to take it in her own hands because it's not being taken seriously right away.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like that thought of, oh no, don't file missing persons for at least 24 hours.
No, it used to be 48 hours.
Which is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's just a big misconception. It's not true. Mm-hmm. If somebody's missing, you think they're missing, you go to the cops right away.
And not only that, it's what I think it's even, you know, more ridiculous is if you're going in there to report, especially your son, like, you know them. You know what I mean? Like, you know if, oh, yeah, they ran away or if it's out of character, you know. So, obviously, there's a reason why you're there and you're, you know, trying to raise that red flag and trying to get help because, obviously, for missing persons, it's time is of the essence, you know? Right. So, yeah, it's...
I mean, looking at Bear's case, all of that was just so shady. The missing TV.
Right.
His safe, like, being open, money being taken out, his crutches being gone, like, and his car still being there. None of that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? So, when investigators did go to his house, they did take fingerprints from his room, but...
He has a million people there.
Mm-hmm. Because he had so many people that it wasn't...
Just his personality. That's how his lifestyle was.
It was like they couldn't really draw any conclusions from it.
Yeah.
But to me, that's still like... I mean, I don't know. I didn't see anything in my research. I'm sure they did. But to me, it's like, why not question every single person that has been in that house, at least for the past week? Did they even track those people down? You know, because, again, in that episode I saw of Disappeared, you know, his friend was saying that, you know, he didn't always know everybody that was at his house. So it could have been, like, a friend of a friend, and he needed a place to crash. And he was just nice enough to say, yeah, go ahead, crash at my couch. You know, but you can still track that person down. Did they try to do that? I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I didn't see any of that in my research if they did or didn't. I would hope that they did.
One thing I find really unfortunate is that he was so generous to his friends that's likely what possibly led to his downfall.
Mm-hmm. I know.
The wrong person came in and saw an opportunity to take advantage.
I know. That's just
him being sick, him having money to spend that. Yeah.
I know. That's just awful. That's awful because it's not like, you know, somebody was coming to him in need and he was like, no, my money. Like, it wasn't like, you know, it was known that he was greedy. It was the complete opposite. So still to take advantage of somebody like that after, you know, they...
Open their house to them.
Yeah, like, that's wrong. So while doing her investigation, she discovers that her son Skylar had ordered an Uber and that the Uber had dropped him off at a stop sign just past the San Pasqual Academy, which is just past Highway 78. And this spot is only 30 minutes away from where they believe Bear's last location was. Okay, so that's just kind of...
20 minutes away.
Mm-hmm, 30 minutes away.
30.
Mm-hmm.
That could be pretty far.
Is it? From, I don't know.
Is it? Well, you know, I mean, the odd thing about these two cases is that they're a day apart.
Yeah. Well, but yeah. Each scenario. And it kind of like similar area. I don't know. Yeah. So during her investigation, she also finds that Skylar had gone to her boyfriend's house and asked for a flashlight. Then he went to his grandmother's house and asked for a roll of toilet paper.
Hold on. Asked for a roll of toilet paper? Mm-hmm. You can't just grab it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess right now with our current situation, wouldn't you ask?
Oh, coronavirus. Toilet paper. Taking toilet paper, impossible to find. That's true.
So, she had also found that Skylar had taken his toothbrush, toothpaste, cell phone charger, but left his wallet behind and all of his credit cards that were in it, including his ID.
Where was he going, though? Like, did
so, they say? Okay, like, so prior to him going missing, they said that he had met these two new friends, Darius and Eli. And I think he had said that he had gone for a hike with them or something like that.
That's what I was wondering, because I imagine there's probably like...
But wouldn't you take your ID? I mean, I'm not a hiker, but wouldn't you take your ID? I don't know. Wouldn't you?
I guess when I go like fishing and stuff...
Do you take your ID?
No.
You don't take your ID?
I leave it in the car.
You do?
What if I don't drop it in the lake?
What if somebody drowns you in the lake and now nobody can identify you?
Who cares if nobody can identify me? I
mean, what do you mean? Who cares? Oh my god.
I'm done. I'm gone.
No, but this is. Let's not. No,
thank you.
This is why always, always carry an ID no matter what. Even if you're. Even if I'm running to the store real quick and I'm not even driving or I'm not even the one buying anything, I always carry my ID on me. I don't want to be a Jane Doe.
With your morbid mind, that's the reason why.
Yes, but everybody should do that. I mean, you never know. What if there's a car accident? Now they can't identify you. You don't have your cell phone on you. You don't have anything. Let's just make their job easier and everybody carry your ID, okay? So, back to the story. During her search, she comes across Bear's case and his disappearance. And just like Leilani, she can't believe the similarities between her son and Leilani's. They were both 20 years old, 5'11". Skylar was about 120 pounds and Bear was 110 pounds. And the fact that they both just looked similar. And I don't know if you've gotten a chance to look at both of their pictures, Jose, but... They have, like, similar hairstyles, the color is the same. Like, they actually do look pretty similar. It's kind of weird, you know?
Yeah.
So, Skylar's mom calls the police, and she tells them that she thinks that Skylar's case and Bear's case must be connected. And, you know, the police don't think that the two cases are connected since... You know, they're saying, well, you know, your son willingly, he called an Uber and, you know, he was dropped off somewhere as opposed to Bear. You know, with Bear, we just, mm-hmm. he disappeared. We don't know what happened.
Yeah, the motive is different, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I guess the motive on Bear's side is likely, imagine, money?
Yeah.
Or mm-hmm. TV, probably. Which is really mm-hmm. sad, a TV.
I know.
On the other hand, I mean, there's no sign. He left his wallet at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the two moms connected with each other, and they're both very much involved in each other's, in like their son's cases and investigations. And
huge efforts, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. So Leilani believes that someone must have helped her son leave on that night or had to have taken him from his home since... There was no way, you know, just like how we talked about, there was just no way that he would have been able to take a TV and everything else with him.
Yeah, not his condition at that point.
Mm-hmm. And that's where both of the cases stand today. You know, both cases have gone cold and there aren't any new updates on either one of the cases. So we ask that if you have any information on Bear's disappearance, we urge you to contact the El Cajon Police Department. And, you know, same thing for Skylar. If you have any information, You know, we urge you to please contact the Escondido Police Department. Unfortunately, these two families haven't gotten that closure, you know, that they're looking for. These two moms, you know, their poor moms are still out there and they're looking for their sons. They want answers at this point. They just want closure and they want to know what happened. So I do know that there is a reward for Bear's case. I believe it's a, we'll post it onto our website and on our Instagram account. But I believe it was a $50,000 reward that the family is offering along with San Diego Crime Stoppers. So, like I said, if you have any information, contact El Cajon Police Department for Bear or for Skylar, contact the Escondido Police Department. Also, I do know that both of these cases are open cases with the San Diego Crime Stoppers. So if you want to remain anonymous, please contact the San Diego Crime Stoppers office. And like we say every week, every tip that you give to Crime Stoppers, it remains anonymous. Nobody has to know that you could possibly be the one that's bringing closure to these two families. If you want to look at pictures and want more information on the cases we cover, you can head over to truecrimeweeklypodcast.com. You can also follow us on Instagram at podcasttruecrimeweekly. And I would truly love it and appreciate it if you would leave a 5-star review and subscribe onto Apple Podcasts. The only way that people find out about us is through subscribers and reviews. Thanks for listening.